Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tonight on Piers Morgan Uncensored with me, Jeremy Kyle, trust in trust collapses with our economy in meltdown. Tonight, a bombshell poll gives Labour a staggering 33-point lead. The question, is it time for an emergency U-turn on Britain's tax cut gamble? Putin annexes 4 parts of Ukraine and prepares to send thousands of aging conscripts to war. Could threatening Russia with attack bring an end to the fighting? We'll debate that later. And a major new survey says that Brits are basically fat layabouts. But are we really lazier than anybody else?
Live from London, this is Piers Morgan Uncensored with Jeremy Kyle.
Good evening, my friends, and a big, big welcome to Piers Morgan Uncensored. Yes, he's still up north playing golf, not very well. I'm Jeremy Kyle. And, of course, Hurricane Ian made landfall in the US today. Here in Britain, it's a case of Hurricane Eaton, an out-of-touch rabble tearing through the British economy, leaving millions without power and threatening to drown us all in debt. It's been a week, believe it or not, since the government's fiscal experiment. I said that quite well, and the results are quite remarkable. Rising debt, mortgages exploding, pensions collapsing. We've got interest rates higher than a hippie in a hot air balloon. And the only thing tanking harder than the pound is, you've got it, Liz Truss's reputation. Trust in trust, they said. Well, she certainly put the rust in trust. This is all written by the wonderful Alex. The gag in mortgage, the broke in broker, and the chancer in chancellor. Above all, the PM has pulled off something that seemed almost impossible. She's made Sir Dreary Starmer look competent and interesting. Believe it or not, a poll tonight gives Labour a staggering 33-point lead, their biggest since the 1990s. Now, we were very critical of the Prime Minister for hibernating during this economic meltdown. There were no statements, there were no interviews. And today, my friends, we found out why. Because every time she opened her gob, the markets recoil. Quite simply, ready for this, she has the minus touch. Everything she touches turns to mould. Her interviews with 8 friendly local radio stations this morning were supposed to spread calm throughout our nation. But the only people who benefited were the RAC because, frankly, we had a series of repetitive slow-motion car crashes across the length and breadth of this country. Pin back your lug holes and have a listen to this shambles.
Where have you been?
Well, I think we've got to remember the situation we were facing this winter. We were facing a situation where people could have had to pay energy bills of up to £6,000. I think we have to remember what situation this country was facing. You know, we were going into the winter with people expected to face fuel bills of up to £6,000. People were facing fuel bills of up to £6,000.
Prime Minister, with respect, that is the same scripted answer you've given to every BBC local radio station this morning.
Big moment there for the bloke from Brazil. I gather from that every person thought there was going to be a bill of £6,000. Now, we're joined. Jezza's Jenners are back. Talk TV legend Mike Graham, political journalist Ava Santina, and journalist and economist Paul Mason. Good Lord. I found myself, Mikey, last night sitting here thinking I've become a socialist overnight. I do not understand.
So does everybody else.
Well, I don't understand. Here's the thing, right? Who did not say to this woman that if you release a policy that frankly says, OK, I'll bring in tax cuts, but it's going to affect the poor and not the rich, how did anybody in her cabinet, her government, or anybody having any sense of what she felt was right or wrong, could think that was a good thing. Don't get it.
Well, I think she's probably the worst communicator I've ever seen. And they used to call Ronald Reagan the great communicator. She's whatever the opposite of that is. She can't seem to get a message across. I don't think the budget was a terrible mistake. I'm not one of those that thinks you should reverse it. And if you give people tax money back, obviously, if you pay more tax, you get more back than if you don't pay so much tax. So I don't think that's the problem. But I think the banks have been absolutely out of control. The money market's been out of control. The currency dealers have been out of control. And I just don't think they know what they're doing. And they're hoping against hope that it all just goes away. I don't know what they're going to do next week.
It's interesting, isn't it, Paul? Welcome to the show. First time I know. Sunak has reportedly said tonight, I won't be at the Tory party conference, I'm going to get Liz to own this. He repeatedly said, I'm going to raise taxes to pay off this debt. Mm-hmm. She said, I'm going to cut taxes. Everybody thought that, you know, this guy was, you know, he'd backstab Boris, etc. He's been proven right by the hour, isn't he?
He actually predicted the pound would fall and the bond market would go into freefall. And it's not only him. It's 101 in the Treasury rulebook. If you're going to borrow money and give it away to rich people, OK, there has to be some quid pro quo. There has to be something that offsets that. Is it public spending cuts? Are we going to see hospitals close? They won't tell us. So there's nothing to explain either to the ordinary person or, more importantly, the people lending the money to the government how it's going to work. And if you can't show your workings to these guys sitting there with these two big Bloomberg terminals in the City of London, they're not going to believe you. And so I think, you know, I disagree with you, Mike. I don't agree with this. I don't think it's the answer. But whether it's the answer or not, whether you agree with it or not, is irrelevant.
It's really interesting, Ava, isn't it? Mike talks about, you know, communication. We had 3 years of Boris Johnson and people said he was, you know, he blustered. Boris Johnson looks like the best prime minister this country's ever had. I am genuinely mightily shocked about how incompetent Liz Truss has come across, aren't you?
Do you think you've got Stockholm syndrome?
What does that mean?
Well, do you think it's just been so bad for so long that you think that Boris Johnson looks better? Look, I mean, look, this has been terrible. Boris Johnson's policies are actually a lot closer to what Keir Starmer is putting out than what Liz Truss has given us. But the problem with Liz Truss is that she's fired anyone with half a brain out of the room. There's no one intelligent in there actually explaining to them, or they don't want to listen. In the case of the IMF, which they're now calling a lefty organisation because they're warning that the UK could fall off a cliff edge, the only people who are actually in control at the moment are these dreadful people called think tanks who work on Tufton Street, places like the IEA, who are now dictating...
Had them on last night. He got absolutely battered by Marina
Burke. This lot are obsessed with the IEA. I mean, the IEA are not that important. They're not listening to the IEA.
Are you joking?
No, they're not. They're really
that's
not.
Silly. They're not that important. They're writing the policy.
No,
this is their wet dream.
But look where it's going. You know, they're not going to be writing policy for very long if that's their policy.
This is the first time. The point is this, that
the problem here is not the poor. The problem here is not the rich. The problem is the people in the middle.
Jams.
Because the people in the middle are the people who won't be able to afford their mortgage payments, who won't be able to put the heating on.
And they're the ones who won't vote.
But here's my point, Mike. You talk every day on the radio and you do it so well. You talk, you know, you talk to the people that matter in this country, the exact people you're talking about.
Yeah.
Who went, this is a really good idea, to tax... We're going to encourage the bankers and the rich people to come back to London and make money, and it will trickle down. Right now, people don't think they can pay their bills in October, not in 3 years' time. And I said last night on the show, I thought Liz Truss would spend 2 years buttering us up. Liz Truss could be called brave or she could be called stupid.
But they spent a lot of money 2 days before the budget on giving people money for their energy bills, right? £150 billion they spent on that. A lot more than they spent on the budget giveaway on
the
Friday.
Which was still not enough.
Well, it wasn't enough, but the point is nobody got upset about that. The markets didn't go mad.
No, they did.
And the markets...
People did get upset about it.
No, but hang on.
People who can't eat got quite upset about it.
The markets didn't react, let's put it that way. And the point is the markets reacted to a much smaller amount of money on the Friday. So what's going on exactly?
It's not the amount. It's the credibility. It's do they know what they're doing? And you could hear from those interviews that she did on the BBC, she doesn't even know how to explain what she's doing. But just let me give you, as an economist, kind of rule of thumb. The cost of borrowing for ordinary families, for anything, mortgage, loan, credit card, has gone up from 0.25% in January to 2.25% now. And you might think, well, that's not so much, is it? It's nine times. So if you say, if a pint of beer is worth, what is it? A fiver. Let's say a pint
is
a fiver. If a pint was a fiver...
Where are you drinking?
If a pint was a fiver, it's the equivalent of a pint of beer being 45 quid now And by the time it goes to 6%, it would be 100%. Okay. Okay. We cannot... Beer is less important
well,
than
let's
credit.
Well, let's talk about, and you're quite right, about people. If the average person in this country watching this, reading their newspapers, turning on their radios, and we're sitting here arguing about whether she's a good communicator... Sir Keir Starmer, by anybody's standards, I'm not that impressed. You'll jump at me. But, you know, he is about as exciting as a tea bag that's been squished out and put in the bin, in my humble opinion. He's going to walk to power. 33 points. This just in, by the way. YouGov poll, yes, in the Times, 33 points. Other polls tonight, Labour, 21 and 17. Mm. This is across the board. He doesn't need to open. He's gone,
no,
Starmer.
No, that's the problem, is that he's not opening his mouth. So all of this is hedged on the fact that Liz Truss and the Conservatives are not a competent government. He's actually not put forward any policy that would rectify the cost of living scandal.
I actually believe that's the only way the Labour Party will be elected, if they say absolutely jack between now and the election.
Yeah, but that's not good enough, because if you actually get to the general election, you actually have to go out fighting.
Of course.
What are you going to tell people? You're like, well, we just won't be as bad as them.
No, he did say something, and they've got a very clear thing. They would have capped energy bills the same as the Conservatives, so that the average household pays about $2,500.
That's You're an economist. Mike knows I feel this. I feel this really, really strongly. When I was brought up, it was really simple. There was a I can't even say the word. There was a line between the Tories were supposed to be fiscally responsible and they would, you know, you didn't buy what you couldn't afford. The Labour Party would promise to, we'll give the miners this, the dockers this, the... And then suddenly inflation went to 30% and everybody was messed up. It seems that the whole thing's gone on its head, that the Tories have borrowed money that
have.
We are all...
But
and
have,
Mike, can I put that slightly in perspective as well? How much money that they've borrowed? The issue... So what they've done with these tax breaks, they're hoping to make back £45 billion over the next 5 years through these tax cuts. Do you know how much interest they're going to be paying next year? £100 billion.
So they're only going to afford to pay half of the...
That's over 5 years.
But here's the thing as well, Ava. The furlough business, Rishi Sunak borrowed more money during furlough, during the pandemic, than almost the entire history of government in this country until 2005, right? £500 billion he's borrowed, right? The thing about the Bank of England, the interest rates, I think, Paul, is that they were profligate. They should have known that you couldn't keep artificially low interest rates like that. They were bound to go up. You know, we're old enough to remember the 70s and the 80s when people had 15% mortgages. Of course you're not. You've just got a bad memory. The point is that at the end of the day, you know, people are going to find that they've been buying things they can't afford. You know, you walk around the streets of London, people are driving very expensive cars that they can't afford. They're living in houses with mortgages they can't afford.
Yeah, but who encouraged them to do that?
It doesn't matter. They're individuals. No,
we are where we are. And Johnson got us into this, Sunak got us into this, Gordon Brown and Tony Blair. I'm a Labour supporter. I'd say Gordon Brown and Tony Blair also played their part. But what we've got now is a government, and it's literally this. It's got its foot on the accelerator and it's got its foot on the brake. Bank of England trying to slow things down.
Yeah.
Government's trying to speed the economy up. That doesn't work. And what happens is the engine burns.
Right, we could talk about this all night. Some other stuff. This makes me sick to the stomach. Anna Sokoulis, the American lady, came out of her residence driving the wrong way and Harry Dunn, bless him, was killed. Tonight, I believe, or today, has been told that she must appear in court in England. That's not going to happen, is it?
Well, I don't imagine she wants to. I mean, I don't understand why they were able to have a hearing this morning or this afternoon with her in absentia doing it down a Zoom link. You know, because surely if you're going to be answering to charges, you have to be in the court, don't you?
And there's no extradition treaty between us and the Americans. So
I don't think they'll go for that. I just don't think they will diplomatically.
How would you feel if you were a parent?
How would you feel if you were Anne? I don't believe that she's doing this off her own back. I think she's being told not to appear or not to
What
come
do you mean, how
here.
Would you feel if you were Anne? What about the parents of the kid that was killed?
Yeah, but we don't know the circumstances. It hasn't gone to trial.
Then come to court and explain the circumstances.
What if she's not allowed to? That's the thing. What if there are powers above her that aren't allowing her?
Who would not allow her to?
The US.
Government?
That's the entire issue.
Why would it benefit the American government to prevent a person who's been accused of killing a kid to come here and face justice?
What if you were under the Official Secrets Act? She was leaving an RAF military base, wasn't she? That's the issue. Is that she physically may not be allowed to come over here, and we're now victim-blaming someone.
Well, she shouldn't have appeared today, then, if that was the case.
Absolutely. Yeah,
maybe she's under duress. Maybe she's being told what to do.
Wow.
I mean, maybe she's guilty and needs to come here and face justice.
Potentially, but what if she's not allowed to?
Interesting one. You might have heard this tonight. The Queen's death certificate was released earlier. Old age.
Mm. Yes, my favourite part is the fact that in where it says occupation, it says the Queen. which I think is brilliant. Oh, great occupation, that, isn't it?
Can't beat that. I mean, there it is on the screen. You can see that.
Do you think that's what she died of?
Died of old age at 3:10. Everybody's now saying, oh, what about, you know? Why are they releasing it? Are they releasing it? But why do people have to... Why do they just accept it?
They release it because it's a public document. And death certificates are public documents. I mean...
She was the Queen, I wouldn't release it at all.
It solves a little mystery, which is... At what point did the broad, you know, how long did it take for her to die, pass away, her family to certify that, and then the broadcasters got it? Because there was a lot of maniac stuff about she's already dead.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that it kind of explains that what the broadcasters were doing was following their own rules and the pre-planned, so there's no mysteries about it.
I must say, in the days since Her Majesty died, the greatest monarch this country's ever had or will ever have, we have a government in turmoil and a king who's apparently going to be investigated for accepting cash. That never happened on her watch. Mm. There's an article in the newspaper today about how yoga... This is the World Health Organization. Honest to God, this does my head in. They said that officers should offer yoga classes to tackle spiralling rates of depression in the workplace. So I created in the studio earlier a Piers free zone, and this is my look at them. Look how zen they are when that madman Morgan is on the golf course. Look how calm and tranquil. You should have heard the squeals
stress-free.
As they tried to maintain those positions. I'm gonna fall over, Jess! Can you imagine? Can you imagine? What about you, Ova? You're probably into all that, aren't you?
I
lentils
can imagine
and...
it.
You can't, do you like
I
do you do the old
it.
Yoga?
I love it, that's why I'm so zen.
Are you zen?
I'm going to do it after this programme.
You're the most narky person I've ever met in my life. You're about
zen a minute ago.
What's your favourite... I nearly said, what's your favourite position?
No.
Can you show us? Can you... Come on, we've never done...
Show you. I can't
why
show
not?
You. I can't show you.
Why not? They want you to.
I've got a risky dress and a mic pack that's falling out.
Yeah.
Mike will show you, though.
Could you do it? Could you do anything?
I not really, no. I don't do yoga. I'm not stressed. I don't feel stressed. I've never felt stressed.
Paul?
I did it a long time ago, but I can't remember any of the moves. Not really, no. Do you know what, though?
We're not talking about disco dancing, man. We're talking about...
It's a good idea, because we need to get people back in the workplace. There's a labour shortage. There's a shortage of skilled people.
I think people should go back to the office to work, not do yoga classes. Just an opinion. I could be wrong. Do you not think the world's gone soft?
You can't move.
What's your favourite position?
A downward dog.
I don't quite know what to say. Thank you to the... I don't even know what to say. I'm speechless. Next tonight, the downward dog. Everyone wants a fair price for energy bills, but is it right not to pay them at all? Next, we'll talk to the campaigner who's encouraging all of us not to pay our bills in a day of action on Saturday. And check this, a new poll says we're a nation of tired, overweight layabouts. But how do we tackle bulging Britain? I'll talk to a weight loss coach who says we need to be cruel to be kind. That's coming next. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to Uncensored, my friends. Now, energy costs are set to rise again this weekend, leaving millions of us facing a grim choice between heating and eating this winter. PM Liz Truss has been accused of repeatedly misleading the public over rising bills by claiming that nobody will pay more than £2,500 a year. The truth is, though, that not everyone will see their yearly costs stay below that so-called cap. Look at these figures. Those of us in a detached house will average pay £3,330 a year. People in a semi-detached house, they're looking at £2,650. Now, the £2,500 price cap will apply to other types of household, yes, including flats and bungalows. Now, I don't know if you've heard about this group. It's a campaign group called Don't Pay UK, and they are basically saying, don't pay your bill. Saturday is a day of coordinated protest. And given the fact that this is going to have a massive effect on people's personal finances, the question tonight is it irresponsible? Now, joining me to discuss this is campaigner from Don't Pay UK, Cameron Joshi, and personal finance expert, Gemma Godfrey. There we go. I got there again. Good evening, peeps. You all right? Oh, come on. Say yes, Jess. Gemma, welcome. Cameron, welcome. Let's start with you. Can I just say the obvious thing? Encouraging people not to pay their bills is illegal and irresponsible, isn't it?
Well, actually, not paying your bills isn't illegal in this country. And if you don't pay your bills, you won't be disconnected. So in 2018, only 6 people in this country were disconnected for not paying their bills. So it doesn't really work like that anymore.
But doesn't it push people further into debt?
No, not paying... I mean, your bills could expand in the longer term.
Well, surely if you don't pay a bill, you're charged interest on it, aren't you?
Yeah, but our hope is
Well, then you'll be further in debt, won't you?
Exactly, but our hope is
Well, you just said
that...
you wouldn't be in debt, but you've just admitted that you will be in debt.
But the whole point of our campaign is that we're stronger together. Together, we are the strongest force for change in this country. If enough of us strike on October the 1st and throughout the month, these bills...
But you're going to say that to somebody watching that who is further in debt because they take your advice on Saturday and there's a debt collector at the door. Explain that, Cameron Joshi, how you expect people to believe that your campaign is viable and right.
Our campaign is here to protect people who are already on prepayment meters as we speak. We're here to stop this system from installing more prepayment meters and pushing more people into poverty. If we go on as we are currently going on,
so
all of that, all of that will happen anyway.
So what happens if a person on prepayment stops paying their bill?
We do not advocate. People on prepayment meters are charged a higher tariff as it is. They shouldn't stop paying. We don't advocate they do. They
Gemma,
can still get involved.
Help me out.
I mean, look, there are millions of families who are going to face a really tough decision around being able to keep their families warm or being able to feed them. And there are millions of families that are not going to be able to pay. And there's absolutely, there needs to be more support there. There needs to be more that energy companies are doing, more the government's doing. The challenge that we're facing here is that if somebody, you know, doesn't pay, there are energy companies that the regulator said to them they are under an obligation to try and help people find a payment plan. So, for example, if you contact your utility provider, they are obligated to review your payments, potentially reduce them, potentially...
If you can get through on the phone, I suppose,
I mean,
right?
that is the big challenge. But if you can get more time from them, then they are giving you the payment holiday to be able to give you a reprieve. They also have hardship funds. There are also grants and schemes. There are other things because the concern...
But we're friends. Do you agree with his approach? I mean, what we're talking about is you're actually asking for civil unrest. Do you agree with that? Because that's what he's asking for.
What I do agree with is coming together, and I do agree that the more that we can come together and campaign, because 2,500 is not the cap. You know, people, especially the most vulnerable, are going to be spending.
But should people stop paying their bills?
But the concern is that what it does is it actually plays into the energy company's hands, where they then have the ability to switch people onto more expensive tariffs, switch them onto prepay meters.
Can I just jump in here and say that the whole point of this campaign is that we are not here just to protest.
When you say we, who are you talking about?
I'm talking about 200,000 people who've signed up already, and I'm talking about 1.7 million people who are, according to polls, going to cancel the direct debit this month.
Is it quite easy from the cheap seats to be this voice of the people, though? Because you're a career campaigner, aren't you?
I'm not a career campaigner.
You went to a posh Westminster school where it was 30 grand a year for legal fees. You were part of Extinction Rebellion. You were arrested in April 2019 for obstructing the highway. Yeah. You're now a climate justice organiser, a direct action group, Global Justice. You're a career protester, aren't you? You're one of those people from a rich background who thinks it's easy to stand up and tell people on lower incomes what they should do to be better off. Have you actually genuinely been in a position where you cannot pay your bill?
I've got two things to say to that. First of all, yes, I came exactly from that background. I'm not going to hide it. Secondly, I experienced extreme disability from the age of 18. I know what it's like to depend on the NHS for your life. I know what it's like to wake up after an operation blinded by doctors who are overworked. I know how that is. I know how it is to suffer, and I can't pay my energy bills this winter.
You can't?
And secondly...
How big are your energy bills this winter?
My energy bills are over twice what they were before. I'm on universal credit. I can't get a job.
Do you get you get the disability benefit?
I'm applying for it, but it takes months. The second thing I want to say is that, Jeremy, I know that the reason why people point this out is because I'm everything that other people from privilege who are running this country hate. I'm exactly what people like that should have done with their lives.
Because you've got a conscience.
I have a conscience, but also they should have turned around and realised what they live off and turn and fight for the people.
One of the things that I'm absolutely... And the reason I put that to you was for this reason. One of the things that I find appalling, whether it's the mortgage situation we were talking about earlier, whether it's energy, whether it's food, is there doesn't seem to be any planning. There doesn't seem to have been any foresight. We can get into the whole big argument about should houses...
I disagree with that, actually.
Really?
Yeah, I think there is a plan. The whole plan is that the rich get richer off of every crisis.
I bet you and your lot this week are absolutely justified in what you're saying because of what Truss has done and is...
Exactly.
She's
produced a plan which gives the millionaires in this society, including yourself, Jeremy, 55,000 in tax breaks, and ordinary people get 300.
So you're now assuming that you know what I'm worth, are you?
I know you're worth $5 million. I've looked that up before I came
here. What's
that,
Wikipedia or something? It also says they've been married twice, they've been married three times, to get your facts right. Let me ask you this. In terms of the people out there, do you genuinely, bottom line, believe that not paying their bill... I mean, look, you know this is true, both of you. The missed payments could be marked as defaults on your credit report,
They also could pass the debt onto debt collection agencies
That's the thing that worries, right?
You've got to accept that. I can talk through this. I can completely accept this. We don't want to do this.
Right.
The alternative is that this will happen anyway to vulnerable people. The more people that join this campaign, We produce a ring around the most vulnerable in society. If enough people join, mm-hmm. none of this will happen to anyone. It'll have to stop.
Do you think, and one of the things that we pride ourselves on as a nation, and I tell you what, respect to you, right? Because you've come here and you're putting your case, and I genuinely mean that. One of the things that this nation is proud of is free speech and the ability to protest. Do you genuinely, hand on heart, think this will make a difference?
Yes. You know why? Because over a million people are already doing this. And polls show that they're inspired by our campaign. If over a million people do this, the energy companies will be out £3 billion.
Would you understand, from my point of view, we have to responsibly broadcast and we can't say to people, you get this camera, I know you do, don't pay your bills. Because what am I supposed to do when they then ring and go, I've got a debt collection agency at my door? What would your advice, what would your group's advice be at that point? Because that can happen.
Our whole point is that there is no other option for many other people.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to step in, all of us, to be stronger together. If enough of us do this, the courts will be jammed up. They will not be able to put you on a prepayment meter. They don't have a million prepayment meters.
Are there other options?
The only thing that I'm really concerned about is that if you are able to reach your utility provider and get a reprieve and get a holiday on your energy payments without arrears, fees, debt, the threat of moving onto a prepayment meter, that could be an option for some people that are in a really, really tough situation.
What you're basically saying is, and I said this the other night, to be fair, you're going to go, God, we've got common ground. Presumably any business survives only on its customers buying, paying and settling the debt from having what they have. You're saying that if enough people say to these energy companies, you've had it too good for too long, we ain't paying, they are going to have to look at themselves and change.
That's not what we're saying.
What are you saying then?
We're saying that the government will be forced to step in to bring energy bills down to a level we can pay. Our campaign has already made Liz Truss force energy bills down to £2,500. It has already worked.
Don't get me wrong. I think it's appalling. What I'm worried about is... And you can
let
sit
me,
there and go,
you.
No, hear me out. Hear me out one
go
second.
On,
you can sit there and go, Jez, that's not fair. Because I don't want to be one of those people who says it's okay to complain and not come up with an answer. I'm just worried about the implications if people in their minds are encouraged to break the
there's
law.
Also, I completely agree with that.
There's
so
also a big
can
problem.
I just say that our campaigns locally, I encourage people to sign up and join a local group because we will be there for people in hardship. We're making plans to produce warm banks instead of food banks, places where people can come to be warm. We're producing plans to stand in the way of bailiffs if they try and get money from you on your door. I've done it before, people being kicked out of their homes, disabled people who will be on the streets who would die that way. It's completely legal to do. Bailiffs are not allowed to use force to enter your home. And I want to say one other thing.
Sure.
One thing I am really scared of is that this crisis, like every other crisis, is made in a way that the ordinary people pay. And the rich get off scot-free with £120 billion
mate,
of
whether
profits.
Don't take me wrong. Fair play to you for coming here and arguing it, because here's what I would say. We have to responsibly broadcast and not say you should...
Oh, I completely understand.
Right, you understand that. But maybe you're right. Maybe it is time for people in this country to say, enough is enough.
Absolutely.
And I have to go to a break. But Liz Truss, as you quite rightly say, has this week said, if you're rich, you don't have to pay tax. And if you're poor, you do. Thank you. Really good to meet you. Cameron Joshi, Gemma Godfrey. Coming up next, Mad Vlad is about to formally annex four more parts of Ukraine. We have a man on next who says perhaps we should bomb Russia. It's the only way to stop the war. And a poll has painted a pretty unflattering picture of bulging Britain. Tired, fatter and less fit than any other country. But the answer to the doctors is, do they need to be given some home truths? We'll do that soon on Talk. We're back.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to Uncensored. Before we get on to Russia, hello to my mate Dave. He says, we're sat here glued. Really great stuff. Love the pace and energy, and we can't wait for you to get after the people who eat too much. We'll do that. Right, welcome back. Russia will formally annex as much as 18% of Ukraine this weekend. Sham referenda held at gunpoint have produced results that would make Kim Jong-un blush. I got that wrong, Jung. Anyway, there you go. Now, there's fears that Putin will use this fake legitimacy to claim Russia itself is under direct attack. But Russian forces are definitely on the ropes. Thousands are fleeing conscription. Elderly reservists are bound for the front line. So could threatening a real direct attack on Russia at its moment of weakness actually be the fastest way to end this unbelievably cruel war? Joining me now is President Putin's former advisor, Sergei Markov, who last time he was on this show just basically did no to Piers, so he can wait. Ukrainian MP Oleksiy Goncharenko down the line. And with me in the studio, journalist and economist Paul Mason. We met you earlier, Paul. I am not for war. I find what this man has done in a sovereign nation disgusting. But when you consider that he is going to annex territory that isn't his, he's held referenda that are at best illegal and fundamentally flawed. And when you see there was a picture from space where you could see Russians fleeing the country, do you not think, rather than talk about is it time to attack him, do we have any confidence that the Russian people might wise up and go, let's get rid of this madman?
Even if they wanted to, it would mean risking life and limb against a very, very serious security state. What I'm saying today is that the reason he's seizing these four territories is he's losing the war.
Yeah.
He's giving himself his own rules state that if Russian territory is attacked or the state is under existential threat, he can use a nuclear weapon.
Now, I think he will.
A lot of the experts I speak to say it's a non-negligible chance. It's a risk. And what has been going on this week is that President Biden, both publicly and privately, has been saying, if you do it, you will face catastrophic consequences. Mm. Now, what I'm saying is that we, the people, the voters of America, Britain, France, the three nuclear democracies, need to be thinking about this before it happens. The only way to deter Putin for real is to present him with a credible message that something bad will happen to him. I don't want to talk about nuclear weapons.
I have to say, strangely, I'm with you to a degree because, people have said we can't put troops on the ground logistically. You know, we can help, we can provide, we can provide ammunition, military help, etc., in terms of logistical help. But the truth of the matter is, still this man does what he does. It's going so wrong. I want to bring in Oleksiy Goncharenko, a Ukrainian MP. Oleksiy, we've spoken many times. Welcome to the show. I love your description. Russia is a dinosaur with a very big body, tiny hands and very few brains. The truth of the matter is that Russia and Putin are losing this war, aren't they? That's the truth.
Absolutely. And that's why Putin is like a gesture of desperation. He's making this so-called referenda and tomorrow this stage performance to show Russian people and to the world some kind of political success. And trying to cover with this his complete military failure. But what I want to tell you is that now is the exactly right moment to finish with Putin's regime. Because if in the end of March Ukraine would have our weaponry that we have today, we would finish everything in the spring. But unfortunately, we hadn't with what to purchase Russians when, after failed blitzkrieg, they were retreating from Kiev and from the northern part of our country. Now is again the moment. Before this, hundreds of thousands mobilized people will be sent to Ukraine to die there. Because, yes, that is the problem. They just want to increase the body of these dinosaurs. That's not their problem. Their problem is their tiny head and very small brain in it. But before they will be sent and this bloodshed will happen, we can one, two, I think, military defeats for Putin's regime, and it would not survive. But for this, we need more weaponry today for Ukraine. First of all, long-range missiles and armour.
Thank you. Let me bring in Sergei Markov. Russia is a dinosaur with small bits and small brains. The West, according to you, doesn't respect Russian democracy, but then you respect Ukrainian democracy, do you, sir?
We cannot respect Ukrainian democracy because Ukrainian democracy dead in 2014 when a junta took power in Kyiv after the military overthrow of the last democratically elected president. We cannot respect Ukrainian democracy because in such regime, such a fascist like Alexei Gontarenko, who spoke before me.
I was in Kyiv. I was in Kyiv until 36 hours before this war started, and I met people from all kinds of different parties.
Okay, question to you.
Democratic,
can I ask you the question?
Trade unions, human rights, left, right, centre.
No. Can I ask you?
What was going on? Was I imagining it? Was I imagining that?
I understand you interrupt me because you afraid my arguments.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
But it's very strange that you didn't see the Kyiv. That more than 30 political parties in Ukraine have been prohibited, and the main leader of the main opposition party have been arrested and under the torture put to prison.
Sergei, with respect, and I'll turn your microphone off. Just hold on a second. With respect, when I sit and listen to a Russian trying to educate us about fairness and democracy, it's laughable. But let's move on from that. Let's get you to answer the obvious question. Your leader, who has withdrawn to his palace somewhere, wherever it is, right, is conscripting elderly people. Thousands, hundreds of thousands of people are fleeing his regime, trying to get the hell out of your country because he has led your country into a war it cannot win, it won't win, and it damn well shouldn't win. And I don't know how you have the audacity to sit here and be happy that Dad's army is being sent in, because the world will not accept this, Sergei. It will not accept it, and so it shouldn't. Come on, man. Be honest.
Don't repeat same mistakes which Napoleon Bonaparte and Adolf Hitler already made about Russian army, and when they spoke that Russian army is too big. Do not repeat their mistake. Either way, you will have same result as they...
It's a military disaster for Russia, isn't it, Aletsky? It's a military disaster. I don't say no, man.
No.
I'm not having that. Aletsky, come on. The Ukrainians are pushing back, aren't they?
It's already happened, this military disaster.
Wait for the Ukrainian man to speak. Be quiet.
I just want to be quiet.
Carry
I just
on.
Want
Don't
to remind you.
My,
no, we can. We can
understand.
We can understand Sergei because
off,
we can understand Sergei because Sergei can't speak in Russia, and finally he has a place where he can speak on British TV. So that's why he's trying just to use this opportunity. But first of all, he called me fascist. Now I know more poems of Russian poets than Putin, all his entourage, including Sergei Markov altogether. So it's complete nonsense. And today in Ukraine, Russian-speaking people with weapons in their hands are defending the country from Putin and from Russian-speaking people from Russia. That is the reality. Speaking about military disaster that Russia received in Ukraine, they were saying in February that they would take Kyiv in 4 days. And their satellite, Lukashenko, their Gauleiter of Belarus, he said that in several weeks they will be near La Manche. But you see that they can't go through Donbas for all 7 months. So for sure, after all these myths about second largest and strongest army in the world, they completely failed.
Stay there. Sorry, Sergei, we've got a problem with your microphone. Paul.
And I think in many ways what we've seen there is rehearsed the old arguments between Ukraine. But there is a new argument. If Putin uses or is credibly threatening to use a nuclear weapon, that makes it our problem.
Of course it
but
does.
But it's not just a threat to us. Every small country, every third world country...
I think we have to be very careful not to sit by and allow this man to do the ultimate. But, of course,
the
you can then...
The Saudis will want nukes. Taiwan will want nukes and we'll be in a world of pain. We have to stop that.
All right, nice and fair. Sergei, the last word from you. Do you not believe the truth that the Russian army is in turmoil, the conscripts are fleeing, and Russia faces the most humiliating defeat because it has a leader who thinks he can go into a sovereign nation and jump around? It's not going to work, mate. It will never, ever work.
You just told that Russia is going to take 80% of Ukrainian territory inside Russia. At the same time, Russia is defeating. It's something in contradiction in your mind, probably. And Russia, free country. That's why in Russia you can leave country and you can have anti-war protest. But there are no freedom in Ukraine. All borders is closed. And finally, Russia not use nuclear weapons against not nuclear Ukraine.
Thank you very much indeed. Enough is enough. Can I just say one thing? Paul, thank you very much. Letsky, thank you, Sergei. Can I just say one thing? When you listen to that diatribe, you understand why, sadly, the Russian people, who have no real information given to them by their government, who are basically conditioned into how they think, you understand why people like Sergei Markov talk like they do. Wouldn't it be interesting if the Russian people were told the truth? Right, next, tonight, Brits exercise less, we eat less fruit, we sleep less than people in other countries. Is it time to do something about our obesity problem? We'll debate that next on Uncensored. I'll come right back in three. Don't go anywhere. There you are. Welcome back to the final part of Uncensored for Thursday night. Right, good news. A new multinational survey by pollster YouGov says that Britain is world leading. Sadly, it's being tired, overweight slobs. 71% of Brits fail to do sport at least twice a week. Twice compared to a global average of 57%. More than half of us don't eat fruit at least once a day. And Brits are also fatter than other nationalities. One third of the UK residents describe themselves as obese and overweight. Joining me now is weight loss coach and renowned no-nonsense fat fighter Steve Miller. And, of course, my wonderful journos, Ava and Mike.
You all right?
What? Let's start with Steve. How are you, Steve? What's happened to your band?
Oh, I'll tell you what, I wish I had got a band. Mind you, I actually nearly made something called Steve Miller's gastric band. I reckon I'd have made a mint if I'd have done that.
So you're a weight loss coach who advocates the truth. So when somebody comes to you obese and says,
Listen.
What?
Yes, I'm a gob on a stick. Now, we're talking about fat here, right? Now, the real world is, from my experience, is that we have a lot of people that do take responsibility and they do take action and they do what they should do. But unfortunately, we have a whopping proportion of the UK population that unfortunately do struggle with what I call can't be bothered-itis. But I'll tell you why, Jezza, we're getting like this. We're getting fatter. It's because we're normalising it. It's like we all should sit round now and sing, if you're happy and you're fat, clap your hands, you know? And you know, even saying the word fat these days, you get trolled on Twitter. I mean, it's like my TV show. I mean, they go crazy when they see the YouTube clips.
Thank you very much, Adi. He looks like Alan Carr, doesn't he? I keep thinking Alan Carr, chatty man, was on.
Mike,
have you got can't be bothered itis?
No, absolutely not. No, what I have got though is
I'm not saying you're fat.
What I do have is an extreme opposition to anyone who wants to tell me what to do. Yeah. So if somebody starts telling me to do something, I'll immediately do the complete opposite thing. And I think the trouble with this country that we now live in is that there's loads of people like Steve who want to tell everybody else how to behave. I think you should go back into his house, shut the door, and not come out again.
Ava. Ava.
Hi.
I'm calling
Mike
Ava.
I can't believe... Hey, listen here. I've got something to say to Mike Graham. Mike Graham, you're too gorgeous to be fat. Honestly, one of the best journos we've got. And I tell you what...
Listen, you're not getting around him that way. He's into the downward dog here. Ava, speak to me, woman. Come on.
Look, I think that we're oversimplifying this. I think that, you know, it's totally unfair to say that British people are just lazy. I think that we're time impoverished. I think that people genuinely don't have time to cook meals anymore because we're both members of the household are working 9-to-5 jobs, and it's a lot easier to put processed food on the table than it is to put healthy food, and a lot cheaper. It's extremely expensive to eat healthy.
It's really not, actually. You can eat very, very healthy. I cook an awful lot, right? And you can eat very healthily for very little money. You can make vegetable soup for literally no money. I know this is something that has been a row going on in some quarters for a while, but it's wrong to say that processed food is cheaper because it isn't. People get
taken. No, It is. We're going down that argument where it's like, oh, just eat porridge or just eat a baked potato with beans on it. If you actually wanted to make a vegetable soup from scratch, not only would it cost you a lot in time, it would cost you probably about 10 quid to make it.
No, it wouldn't.
Yes, it would. Rubbish. Well, what are you putting in it? Potato and water?
No, potatoes, carrots, celery. A bit of garlic, you can put some lentils in.
What is this? Watch with Mother. Can we get back to Alan Carr? Alan, can you answer me this question? Oh, he's having a gin. Can you... What?
You're a cheeky sod. Go on.
Wow. What advice would you give to Mike, my friend, to be very careful?
Come on.
Well, listen, the first thing on a serious note is that actually, if you look deeply, it is cheaper to eat well. The problem is you've got to get out there and find it. It can be cheaper, right? The advice to Mike Graham would be do not do a diet. And the British people, this is a great message for the British people.
I'm going on holiday in February, if you could hurry up.
All right. 80-20. Eat healthily 80% of the time, Mike, and 20% a bit of what you fancy.
I eat very healthily.
You know, that we all like a bit of what we fancy.
You want to see the stuff I cook? I eat very healthily. I don't eat very much fat. The problem for me is that I drink quite a lot, and that's more
booze.
Of what... Yeah, that's why I look like this. It's got nothing to do with the food I eat. I don't eat that much.
Are you really a weight loss coach?
I don't think he is.
I can't imagine him in lycra, can you?
No.
You know what,
He's not Joe Wicks, is he?
Jeremy, listen, no, I'm not. Do you know what? You're absolutely right. I am the most... I don't look like one, do I? I know I don't. But I tell you what, for some reason, I'm really good at it. And do you know what at the heart of it is? It's about... We're very shallow when we talk about weight loss. We always think about food and drink. Actually, it's a mindset. Yeah?
You've got to feed your head. I find that I lose weight if I don't eat anything.
Your head in the right place.
Listen, it's been an absolute pleasure. I'm in awe. I'm going to throw away this shirt because I've got the same one on. But thanks very much indeed. Good luck with your weight loss coaching. Steve Miller, who lost his band, turned into Alan Carr and then told Mike Graham to eat vegetable soup. God, this show gets more weird every night. Ava, thank you. Go away. I'm joking. Do you not think there is a slight truth in that certain people are lazy?
No, I don't. I think that's unfair. I think it's so unfair. It's like the Dominic Raab book. Do you remember that dreadful book that the government minister, who's now long gone, brought out and said that British workers were the most idle in the world? It's so unfair. We just live a different lifestyle.
I'm with Mike, though. It's about choice, OK? You make the choice, you stand by your choice. If you want to do this or that or the other, take responsibility and face up to it.
Also, all these people that say exercise, right? There's more people in A&E because of exercise than there is because of eating too much.
No, that's not true.
Yes, it is.
Well, listen, you two can carry on arguing, but I've got to say that that is the end. I might just point out that Piers Morgan went to play golf in the Dunhill Links for the last 2 days and sadly, at this moment in time, is in last position out of 168 golfers. No, I guess not. He'll be back on Monday. Mike Graham, 10 o'clock tomorrow morning on Talk Radio. We're on The Breakfast Show at 6:30. They're going out, but don't eat any burgers.
We won't be eating.
Munch on a carrot. Good luck with a double dog. That's it from me. Whatever you are, make it uncensored. Have a great night. See you soon. Ta-ra!
Hey, folks. I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues. your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.